Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's been an unbelievable week. We have a WNBL champion after some amazing games. We have NBL preseasons. We have hubs. We have everything. We have little Christmas gifts that Body's received, and we've got it all. So welcome to the great man and you as well, Body.
Thanks very much, Brad. Yes, I've got pretty much a full sack ready to unload.
I heard that about you.
It's been quite the build-up. So first of all, congratulations to the Southside Flyers for doing what everybody anticipated they would do and winning the championship with the most stacked side in the history of the league. I'm not saying that to tell you anything. I mean, they put the team together, they won it, and full credit to them. But it's not like we didn't anticipate it or predict it, or everyone and their neighbour. Look, what would have been the bigger news was if they didn't win it.
That
would have been the story. So, you know, I think that there's two aspects of this that come out. I was actually more impressed, with all due respect to Southside. They just did what they had to do. They had the talent to do it. They achieved it. Hats off to them. But Townsville.
Yeah.
That was the team that many were not even predicting to make the four. It was sort of like, oh, will it be Sydney? Will it be Adelaide? Will it be Townsville? Like, that was the conversation. The only teams that weren't in it were Bendigo, who everyone knew were going to lay an egg, and Perth, who we didn't know what were to expect of them, especially after Sammy Whitcomb went out. So for Townsville to be, in some people's view, maybe lucky to make the playoffs, they weren't lucky. In the end, they were second.
Great. Well, let's go back.
The finals was great.
Yeah, phenomenal. Shannon Seabomb, you know, great. Shyla Hill, wow, just wow. Lauren Nichols, all of it. So let's go back to the semifinals. You and I spoke about it. And after game one, we were like, yeah, we're on fire. We're all of one. So we picked the Capitals to beat the Boomers. So the Capitals lost in the first game, of course, but we got the rest.
Yep.
So, look, great game. The Boomers came out and they did what they had to do, mate. And I thought they were really good.
They were excellent. And Canberra looked sore to me. Canberra didn't look 100% right to me. I'm not saying that to take anything from Melbourne. I thought Melbourne were fabulous.
Yeah, they were.
And were dominated the game, taking nothing from them. But we never saw Kelsey Griffin as the Kelsey Griffin we know her to be during this entire season. So, you know, I don't think they were where we may have thought they would be by the time we reached the playoffs. So Melbourne, fantastic. Took care of business. Great performances.
Well, they were great. Out-rebounded them 51-17. Their shot 44% compared to a 34%. You know, just everything was just brilliant for them. And they did what they had to do, the Boomers. And Guy Malloy, great coach. Love watching Guy Malloy coach. He's just an astute coach. And he got him over the line.
Yeah. And then we get the next game where Towns will come out and score 93 points. Brad, they scored 93 points in a women's semifinal.
And still
now, you would say, and lost by double digits. I mean, that to me, I'm still scratching my head. What a game. What a quality game that was, because you go, oh, geez, that was a score. Was anyone playing a lick of defense? Yes, they were.
Hang on, Body. The Southside Flyers scored 41 in the
first quarter.
First quarter, 41.
Well, I'm looking the other way.
Years ago, that was a game.
it was a Cairns Taipans game when Aaron Fern was coaching, absolutely. That was an overtime game.
Double.
but in this instance, you look at Townsville, hang on a second, you say, they scored 25 in the first quarter. That's a phenomenal effort. They're
27 in the second.
Yeah, but then you go, by the way, though, but Southside scored 41.
Yeah.
My God, that was a phenomenal quarter from them. And it's sort of, at that point, you would think 16 up at quarter time, they've broken them.
But well, I want to bounce it, Liz, 31-18. That was, wow. She dominated that game.
Yes, in a way she didn't in the final, and yet they still won comfortably. So
Nichols and Hill, 30 each.
Yeah, Nicholson was phenomenal, and Shyla Hill was just out of her skull. She was terrific. You know, I have seen a lot of stuff on social media about Shiloh Hill lately, saying, calling her the next Michelle Timms. And even Michelle Timms has said that, she reminds her of herself. And you know what? I always have a problem with that, Brad. I'm sick of hearing about the next Andrew Gaze or the next Rachel Spoon or the next this or the next that, the next Lauren Jack. There'll never be another one of these.
She's the first Shiloh Hill.
Absolutely. And she's fantastic. And I love her. You know, I love her demeanor and the way she goes about it. It's fantastic to watch her play. But I'm not going to compare her. All I want to say is this. I see a lot of similarities in her game to Michelle Timms. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But she is her own person and her own identity. And she is going to forge her way. And, you know, as a teenager,
I do like what you're saying. I guess, on the other hand, my thing is just what great respect that is for Michelle Timms. Mm-hmm. And that's the bit I do like. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you. Who's the next Michael Jordan? Who's the next LeBron? I agree with all of that. And it just puts added pressure on it. But, man, she was just phenomenal. But I'll tell you who really came to play was Leani Mitchell.
I think we're jumping to the final.
She had 19 in that game, 19 and 10 assists in that game. Yeah. Now, you've been quite vocal about her. I'll come back to the grand final soon because she was great. But, you know, even in that game, she's really stepped up in the two games. So let's talk about
it. She needed to, mate. Geez, she said she was ordinary. I love Leilani. I'm a Leilani fan. When she played for the Lightning, I couldn't wait to get to the games, not to watch the Lightning, just to watch her. She's been a great player, but you don't stay great. That's the sad part about it. You don't stay great. I saw Darnell Mee through his entire career, and he was magnificent. And towards the end, you know, he wasn't having great seasons. He wasn't having great games. He was having great quarters. You know, he was maybe had a great half. You know, it starts to get away from you as the new breed comes through. And I don't think Leilani can play a lick of defense anymore. If you put the question to her laterally, I don't think she can go with you. It looked like that was the scout from everybody. Drive on her. And, you know, that is my criticism of her now at the next level internationally. You know, how will she go? Now, go back through anything I've said or written, I've never challenged or questioned her ability offensively.
True.
And again, if you look at what she did in that game, it's offense. And I mean, that's your point guard. That's what you want from him. And if you look at what she does in the final, again, it's a 21-point first half. It's the offense that we're talking about. But we're not talking about her overall game. And so, I've been critical of Leilani. Not so much critical of her. I'm just saying time's catching up and she's got other priorities. She's got a child. Life goes on, you know, and other things come into it, and suddenly basketball is not quite as important. You don't work out as often as you did. You don't shoot as often as you did. You don't, you know, like priorities change.
Yep.
So, I love seeing a champion play well.
And she did. No, it's a great point you make, and I like it. So let's move on to the 2 days later. I think this was Friday night, if I'm mistaken. It's been a little long. This week has been the longest year of my life. Townsville are now playing the Boomers, obviously, and what a game that was. And Shiloh, two massive free throws at the end.
Yeah.
But what a great game. Shiloh finished with 28, played really well, but Boomers gave it everything they could, and they were a bit disappointed, but geez, they played well.
It was a hell of a good game, and I got to confess, if you'd have asked me before the game for my prediction, I would have favoured the experience of Melbourne. So I would have got that one wrong too over Townsville. But Townsville's enthusiasm in the backcourt of Hill and Nicholson was just tremendous. They were fabulous. They thoroughly deserved the victory. And in reality, they played Melbourne three times during the season, beat them all three times. So the Boomers go away with that's it. They were the better team. Townsville was the better team.
Yeah.
And now we get to the final. And again, it's 48-46 at halftime. We're looking at some fantastic basketball. And even as the game blew out a bit in the last quarter, Townsville was still giving it everything they had, you know, and it was a really good quality game. They're probably one player away from being a force, and, you know, see what happens next year. But I think Townsville is really the story of this hub season.
Although, ironically, it's a little bit like Cairns last year, wasn't it, in the NBL? You know, just that, you know, played amazing. But let's stay with it. Like you said, the third quarter, everyone calls it the championship quarter, 23-15. Yeah. That just stretched it out. Mitchell, Liani, 31. At, can I add, 9 of 13 from the field. 69% for a point guard.
Yep.
In a grand final.
Yep.
Mate, that to me is just like, wow, 5 of 7 from the 3-point line.
Well, you've never seen Bryce Cotton or Casper Ware or any other point guards do anything like that in a final. Brad, geez, you need to get out more.
Who's Bryce Cotton? Sorry. Yeah, you got me on there. Okay, good
one. He plays in that other league. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't talk about them. But just like, wow. Yeah. Just wow. And
but you know what? I got to say this. I thought she was – she wasn't my Rachel Sporn medalist. Beck Cole was.
Okay.
I thought Beck Cole's job – offensively was obvious, you could see that, but she wore down Shyla Hill.
Yeah.
That was the day that Shyla hit the wall, I think. And you know, if they met 10 times, I don't think Beck Cole would win that contest 10 times at all. But on this occasion, like their third major game in the space of, what was it, 6 days or something? 4 days actually. You know, I think Shyla hit the wall and Beck Cole absolutely shut her down. And, you know, 21 of Leilani's 31 came in the first half, and the difference at halftime is 2 points. So when the game was won, I think Beck was the player that won it for Southside. Also, Liz Cambidge's third quarter coming on after early foul trouble and scoring 10 points in that third quarter also was very, very substantial. But over the course of the game, my Rachel Sporn medalist would have probably been Beck Cole. I thought she was phenomenal.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's hard to argue, isn't it? But
No, you argue all the time with no evidence and no facts, so it's not hard to argue at all. Go ahead.
Oh, God, I sound like I've just got home and I was speaking to my wife. I haven't even said anything. I've just walked in from work, honey. What do you want? I agree with you. Shyla, like, and that's a credit to what Coach Chambers did. You know, like they obviously targeted, they knew, you know, really, let's be honest, as good as Nicholson was, if you can shut down Shyla the way she was playing, you're a long way to winning that game. And they targeted her and man, she did. She just looked exhausted.
She was gone. She was gone. She was running on empty. But that's the thing. If you're talking about towns, where the place you start the conversation is at their backcourt, Shyla Hill, Lauren Nicholson. Yeah. They were the two that everybody else was carried by. So now you go, who are the two best players in the final? Leilani Mitchell and Beck Cole. So basically the Southside Flyers guards knew they had to step up. They were the key to the success or failure, you know, and also foul trouble for Liz is always a factor.
53-31 in that backcourt of point scoring, by the way, in the final.
Yeah.
Who would have picked that prior to the game?
I don't know. What was it in the semi? Have you got access to that? Yeah, I know it was 60 from the two Townsville girls because they both got 30.
I do have that.
Leilani was 19. What was Beck?
22. From
all right, so it was 60-41 in the semi.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
So that's where the game is essentially. If we're going to break it down to its most basic element, that was the key to it right there. But also, Liz's third quarter was pretty big. I was disappointed with Liz's behaviour off the court. You know, I thought, you know, giving it to the Townsville crowd as though the Townsville crowd was the opposition sort of thing. Well, realistically, this hub wouldn't have worked without those people in Townsville. Mm. And they supported every team. They were out there on a regular basis supporting everyone across our league. And so they weren't really there as fire supporters. Yeah, they might have been giving it to her a bit, but she was giving it back. And I think you really – I didn't like the look of that. It's different. You know, it wasn't Gran Canaria during the World Cup where Australia's playing Spain for a place in the final. And, you know, there's a lot of angst coming from the crowd and she's giving it back. That wasn't quite the same situation. I was disappointed to see that. I thought, well, that crowd has supported the WNBL. So do the crowd.
You know what? I got a smile on my face, buddy, and I reckon – and remind me, we got massive amounts of – viewers and listeners now, we're getting great feedback, right? But yeah. I'm picturing all of them smiling like I am right now going, well, that's Liz.
Yeah,
you know, that's Liz.
No, I know.
The way she is. You know, I remember playing with Shane Hill and he's in the middle of Adelaide and they are giving him, and he runs straight down the court with both fingers up to the crowd. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way they are. Simon Curl, you know, that's just the way they are. I love it.
And you know what? I don't have a problem with it if that's a neutral situation. But, and it was a neutral the opposite. I don't have a problem with it if it's an adversarial situation. Like, you're playing Townsville on a best-of-three grand final, and this is the game in Townsville. You've got your two down in Dandenong, yeah, and now you've got your one up there, and the crowd's giving it to you. Okay, now we have an adversarial situation. Fine.
Yeah, fair call. Yeah.
But that was a neutral crowd that was favouring Townsville, obviously, because it was the home team. But they had favoured the WNBL. They had been very supportive of it. And I just, that's the aspect of it that I thought was, hang on a second, don't forget that without these people, without this support, this hub would not have happened.
Wasn't happening. Yep, fair call. So now we wrap up the season, right? We all sat here weeks ago. It started on the 14th of November, from memory. So it started then. We all looked and said, this is going to be great. It exceeded. And I want you. You're going to have the last words of the WNBL, because you always do have the last words in this relationship anyway. But so it exceeded what everyone expected. The amount of social media they see going, my God, I haven't watched women's basketball like this for years. This has been phenomenal. We all picked the Flyers. They won. Townsville came out of nowhere. The hub was great. The experience was great. Wrap it up. But me, for one, I've just got to say it was enthralling and I loved it.
Oh, yeah, pretty much endorse everything you've said there. I thought the blemishes, if you're the bright, I have to be the dark. I thought the blemishes were the way they handled the COVID situation in South Australia and its impact on the Adelaide Lightning. I think there was a few porcupines told about how Lightning was handling that, and the real story of girls being locked in their rooms and the keys being confiscated, that didn't really come out. No media really sought that particular story, and that must have been horrific for those girls. Beyond that, I think it was pretty good. Although I also do think that the draw definitely favoured a couple of the clubs that ended up at the top end. I'm a bit disingenuous with celebrations like Southside had done something that we didn't expect. I mean, obviously you're happy, you won the championship, fantastic, but everyone expected you to, we're talking about, they had to do it under adversity. What adversity? You know, realistically, they had no substantial adversity. They, I can remember vignettes on the TV of them, on ships, on boats out in the harbour and doing this, that and the other and just loving the life of North Queensland. I tell you what, if I had to go up to North Queensland for a month and live the life that a lot of these players were able to live, I wouldn't be calling that adversity. I'd be putting that among the best moments of my life.
Hang on a sec. As if they'd let you. As if they would let you. Anastasia would just look at that and stamp that rejected. Well, that's the last words of the WNBL. Kudos to the WNBL for making it happen. It is not easy. Yeah, the governments, absolutely everyone. So congratulations to the Southside Flyers. Yeah.
People supported it. Fabulous.
Absolutely. So kudos to the Southside, my girls. You guys waiting for it. And congratulations. And we cannot wait for next season to start. So now we talk NBL body. There's been a lot of news in the last couple of weeks of what's going on, but we will start with some preseason games. Why don't you talk to us what you felt so far?
Oh, well, what we've had is Illawarra splitting two games with Perth and then losing to Sydney, which kind of, I must admit, that did surprise me.
Really? It didn't surprise me.
Talk to me, because I'm not that dazzled with Sydney, and they've lost Xavier Cooks now as well, so.
The thing that didn't surprise me, and now this is, I haven't had a real good chance to talk to Gorge and the team, so I don't know what's going on there. But I know Gorge would have used that to, for really pushing these guys hard. Because I remember, he would go to Perth and he'd push them hard. And it reminds me of, what's his name, Craig, the coach of the Melbourne NRL team.
Bellamy. Right?
Yeah, Craig Bellamy, thank you. And, you just hear stories where it doesn't get harder than preseason. So every game will be easier than what a preseason is. And I know Gorge would push these guys. So after being in Perth, playing two hard games, then coming home And then the COVID thing, the game nearly got cancelled, right? It all happened on that day. And I know a few hours before, there was talk that this game was not going to happen. And that everyone, like they were talking, that they're going to put people in hubs. And it was just a chaotic thing because of what's going on in Sydney. So it didn't surprise me, Sydney being back, sitting around, hadn't played, you know, waiting, new coach, Bogut's gone, Lish is gone, Tate's gone. So I just, it didn't surprise me that the energy would be up and you've got two teams that are completely different in that sense. So, but I'll tell you what, I really love Travis. I thought, for the Perth Wildcats, I thought they played really well, but Cotton was the best anyway. No question.
And then we've got the other series, which was Brisbane, South East Melbourne, which the Bullets won both those games. One of them in a thriller, and one of them, well, actually, they're both pretty tight games. So they'd be happy after their less than thrilling efforts against Adelaide. But again, going back to those two losses they had against Adelaide, they had a very, very young, depleted team. It was sort of like Adelaide versus Adelaide Light. You know, with the main guys were Froling and Sobey and
Talk to me about Froling. He's had some great preseason games. What do you think he's going to be like?
Froling?
Yeah.
I don't know because he's honestly, I was disappointed with his second NBL season. He gets Rookie of the Year. He goes and tries out for the NBA, and he comes home like he's at the NBA doorstep. And I thought his second season was slothful, for want of a better term. A lot of, you know, complaining to refs, a lot of the sort of stuff that you see from players when they haven't done the work and they want help. And I thought that was a disappointing sophomore season, you know, where he should have built on that rookie and become a dominant, forced his way into the starting lineup and you know, been a dominant force. He was so much fun to watch the previous season. So there's a real question mark over him, because when he came here, I didn't think he was looking in the greatest of shape, unless, you know, pear is a shape that you're going for. whereas in these games, apparently he's played, you know, really well. His numbers have been terrific. So hopefully he's taken the step and I've treaded water for a year. I didn't like the way that feels. You know, maybe Andre Lemanis is pushing him in a way that he hasn't been pushed before, or in a different way. So hopefully he's going to be terrific.
Well, he's my starting center for the fantasy league. He comes in nice and cheap at the moment because of last year, and I reckon he'll be great. Yes. Anyway, I want to talk to Tyler Harvey. Tyler Harvey from the Hawks. Man, I like him.
Yeah, shooter.
Yeah, lefty. A lefty. Yeah,
You always like shooters because it goes back to...
Because I wasn't one.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. It goes back to your point guard days where you go, oh, he can shoot. Here I go. Look at my assists. Watch my assists.
I did like that. I'm going to tell my first game in the NBL, I had 7 assists, right? My first game. And it was fantastic. And I think Shane Heal had 7 threes. It was awesome. We played against North Melbourne. It was against DMAC and we were down by 19 at 3-quarter time. Anyway, not that I remember those games. Who's your standout that you saw this week?
I'm sorry. I didn't really focus a lot on the NBL. My main focus has been just watching the women play and being amazed by the wealth of talent that we have. I saw a piece from Sandy Brondello, the Opals coach, talking about the amount of talent that there is around, you know, these kids that we hadn't heard of before, like a Jade Melbourne and a Zatina Okuso, who we have heard of and has been out for a year with an ACL. But, like, just that's where I've been. So I'm not really ready to go in depth.
I'm going to give you some stuff. I thought I watched the Brisbane Phoenix games and I feel really good. Phoenix is going to be shared ball, but Mitch Creek, unbelievable, 29, 10, and 5 in one of the games. That Tarangi came out and had 16, so I'm really interested because, you know, he was best six man and didn't play last year, and he's got out of that Brisbane program, gone down to the, you know, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, and they haven't got that go-to guy like a Brisbane did, you know. So I thought he was good for Brisbane. Sobey's going to have another good year. I just enjoy watching him. Harry Froling, Drimmick. A bit quiet at times, but you know, he was really good. So I'm looking forward to watching them. Perth, your usual suspects. You know, there's nothing's going to change there. I just don't know.
No. You made a good point the other week.
Steindl?
Damian Martin's absence.
Yeah.
What does that mean for the team? And you know, I don't think we addressed that in enough detail, because we're not just talking about the guy that was a super-duper defensive player. we're talking about the heart and soul of that team. When things were going bad for Perth, he would be the one on the court calling the huddle, getting them together, telling them this is where, you know, he was the leader of that team. So you don't, you go, okay, well, we're not going to lose much in points. We're going to lose this. We're going to, you know, as a player, you're going to lose a certain quality of human being, but it's the leader. Where's that going to come from? Is that going to be Cotton that steps into that sort of role, or does that compromise his game?
I think it's Mitch Norton, but I don't know if he's got that. That's what they brought him over. I know when, you know, he left Illawarra, this was what the plan was. You know, I know Bevo, he was coaching Illawarra. He's devastated to lose him and Kay, right? Yeah. But then they went over to Perth and everyone was like, oh, well, he's to replace Damo. It makes sense. And that's now that's it, right? So, he was good. Steindl will be the key for me. If he can come in and knock those threes down consistently, that's going to take so much pressure off Bryce. And get it out there. So look, it's going to be a great season. We know, we spoke about it last week. The first five rounds have already come out. That's a home and away series. I'll be interested to see. Then we got the hub. So that's the interesting one that's come out this week. So the way the hub works is there's going to be 36 games played and it starts on Feb 20. So the season starts, I think it's January
10th.
Somewhere around there. Yep. Then everyone goes into this hub and it's 36 games and all 36 games count towards the regular season. But not only that, they're having their inaugural NBL Cup, it's called. So what that is, and there's a prize money of 300K, buddy. 300K.
Yeah. Yep,
I think it's 150 for first, 100 for second, or something 50 for third, or whatever, and that's going to be awesome. And they think at that stage, because I think it's still 30% of crowds in Melbourne, but then they're hoping for 75%.
Yeah, that'd be
and good. Then the after those 36 games, nothing's been announced yet, but in theory, everyone goes back to home and away. You'd assume, but who knows with COVID. So, look, they're all guns blazing. What do you think about that? What do you think?
Yeah, it's all very interesting, and you know, it's all affected by COVID. Everything that happens is impacted by COVID. So what I think is, I think they're making intelligent decisions, and they're being forthright in how they go forward, but they're not rushing in anything. And I'm very impressed. But that's the new normal, isn't it, Brad? That's the way it's got to be now for a long, until we clear this up, if we ever clear it up. So, you know, like I'm still not convinced that there's going to be a Tokyo Olympics. Just the other day, I was reading something about 40,000 new cases in Tokyo.
Yeah, I'm with COVID. You. I don't know how they can do that.
Yeah, people come from all parts of the world.
How can you hub the world like sports? Yeah. I just don't get that. Also, I want to have a shout out as well. Great to see. I think if I'm not mistaken, D-Mac is back at United as an assistant coach.
Good
and
to see.
That's great news because I mean, what a player. Yep. And just a really nice guy. So that's great to see.
You want your champions in the fold. And let me just say, I had an interesting parcel arrive just this very day from Victoria. And I opened it up.
Well, they do say, Boddy, that it's time to do that testing, mate. So I'm glad you got that parcel. So that's great to hear, buddy. Good luck with that.
I was going to say, you know, you're pretty close to what was in it. No, seriously. I pulled out a book and it said, Gaze. And we're not talking about anybody on Oxford Street in your part of the way. No, I'm not talking about that sort of gaze. This is gaze, as in G-A-Z-E, the original Lindsay. It's Lindsay's life story, written by Lindsay but ghosted by Grant Lee Bernard, one of the
basketball
great journalists and great storytellers. And I've already skimmed it a little bit, and it just straight away caught my attention. I'm really going to enjoy it. Unfortunately, it's not out in time to sort of grab and put under a Christmas tree. It's coming out in January, which is a little bit of a shame. But from what I've just glanced into it, it's going to be a phenomenal read, and I'm really looking forward to it. And all basketball people should jump aboard that when that comes out. I'll be reviewing it at the website as soon as I've read it, which will probably be this weekend. So I'm very thrilled about that.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, for all our Cairns, Melbourne, Adelaide listeners, just to let you guys know, on December 31, Cairns play Melbourne. So that's a preseason game. And Saturday, Jan 9, Cairns play Adelaide in the preseason, and then the season starts. Sunday, 10th of January, the crosstown rivalry of Melbourne versus Southeast Melbourne. So,
and I think that's in Bendigo.
Yes, I think from what I heard is all three games, their first three games are in Bendigo. So yep. That's great. So so that's awesome. Boddy, it's been an unbelievable 2020. We started off with the semifinals and grand finals in WNBL. And then in NBL, we didn't get to the grand final. We only played three games. It was irrelevant anyway. You know what it is. Yeah, it's irrelevant. It wasn't actually three games. All grand final series was called off. We did not and then, you know, obviously COVID hit. We've had a crazy year, but I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas, a safe and happy new year to all our listeners. Thank you so much. Boddy and I are absolute. Well, Boddy is I'm a nobody. I just love doing this. I love being with the man. It's great. We have fun. We have no idea what we're doing. And I just also want to shout out every time we do this, Boddy and I are like on a video call, and the t-shirts he has is unbelievable. I tell you, they are crisp. You think he's just taken them out of a plastic. Today he's got the Newcastle Falcons one on. It is just that's old school. So you mentioned Sean Dennis. Hello out there. He'd be loving it.
Yep. And North Melbourne Giants. You mentioned D-Mac before. So that's another one of my favorites.
That was last week's one. That was great, mate. That'll be great. All right. You bring out the Supersonics and West Stars soon. And what
Adelaide Bearcats got? No, just stop there. West Adelaide Bearcats one. But just stop there, because this is not a visual medium, Brad. So we're just talking now, that, and the people listening going, what are these rabbits talking about? So
they don't just say that now. They've been saying it, brother. Mate, okay. I'll give you a little finish off here to everyone. Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Yep, you too. And to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed what we bring.